Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. And I want to review a little bit with you. We have lessons on solving a problem in Nehemiah. Now, of course, in studying Nehemiah, we see that there is a problem reported. Nehemiah, probably his brother, came and shared with Nehemiah the fact that Jerusalem had been trodden down. And so as a result, there was this statement that Nehemiah recognized the problem. As a result, he went to prayer over the problem. And when he went to prayer, he came before the Lord and said, "Now, Lord, we ask that you would do something." So, as a result, he realized that he was not only part of the problem, but he was part of the solution. So, Nehemiah decides he's going to approach the king and try to deal with the helping in the building of the wall. Now, of course, he had some obstacles. He had hundreds of miles to go. He had a job that he was doing. He was going to have to leave the king for an extended amount of time. So he needed extended vacation to do this. And so he overcame those obstacles. And sure enough, he, in verses 11 through verse 18, he prepared for the work. So he made preparation. Now, basically, we as a church have decided that we were going to try to resolve any weaknesses in our ministry. And if you remember, I pointed out that this wasn't a time to bash Faith Baptist Church, but it was a time for problem solving. And we came to the realization that there's many things that we can improve on, but one of the things that we recognize is that we asked the question, what wall should we build this summer? Well, we did this in the beginning of June, and we saw that we wanted to focus on reaching children and teens with a focus on reaching young families. So that's been our burden for this summer. And as a result, if you remember, I asked you the question, and what do you think we should do by September 1st? And we came to this conclusion that we want to focus on outreach. So obviously, if we're trying to get young families into our church, why would we not want to try to go after them? And as Dr. Otis Holmes would tell us in church planning, that you will reach as many people as you'll go after and provide for them. Now, that's a simple way of saying it, but there's been a lot of truth to that. You know, that you try to get as many people as you can, but once they come here, you've got to have a place for them. And what are you going to do? As a matter of fact, it was kind of an interesting scenario this morning. I knew that there was a chance we were going to be overloaded in our Sunday school class. Now, as it turned out, Elizabeth's family, am I right, did not come until church? Okay. But I thought, boy, if they come during Sunday school, okay, where are we going to put these teenagers? What are we going to do with this? You know, we could certainly put the adults with the adult class, or would they want to sit into my Sunday school class? But again, I found the scenario that's very interesting. Okay, so you try to go after people, but what do you do when they come? Now, that's it's a problem. It's a good problem, but it is a problem. So as a result, we want to have classes for them. So we're looking at, okay, so here is the beginning of August, and we're not quite ready for these classes yet, so we're trying to get that beginning of September. And then, of course, if you're going to have classes, who's going to teach these classes? Who's going to be the ones that are going to provide. Now, our goal by September is we want to have a college and career class. We want to have a teen class. We want to have, of course, our regular classes. We want to have different children's classes. One of the things that we definitely need is to have somebody who would deal and minister to these preschoolers. So these are goals. And our goal is that by the beginning of September, everything's in place so that by the time we actually start at this fall, and we get going into this, we're going after these things. So this was our preparation work. And we said, though, that there's going to be persecutors. And those persecutors, if you remember, obviously that could be human persecutors, but one thing we absolutely know of, that there are three common persecutors of the believer, and that is the world, the flesh, and the devil. So you can count on the fact, if you are going to do any work for God, you're going to be under attack. Our church will be under attack. And even though we may not always see it, you can count it on it, it will be there. And sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. So, as a result, Nehemiah, there was Sanballat, Tobias, and when that took place, they needed to get people in chapter 3 to function every section of that city wall. And I went through the tedious study with you of each section, each gate, and how that those sections were, they were individual, sometimes by families and so forth, but also they were connected. They were kind of, if you would say, holding hands one with another to do this work. While on one hand, that they were working together, some people were way on the other side of the city. So there is this selecting of personnel. 2 weeks ago, we started the work. And of course, Nehemiah started the work. And when he started the work, it became very laborsome. And if you remember, we have begun. So right now, we've actually got teachers. We have been selecting certain people to do certain things. It certainly helps that Pastor Nathan is here with us and able to do things that if he and Karis were not here, we would certainly not be able to do some of the things we're going to do. But I asked Brother Chuck to do the college and career class. One of the things that I want to do is to continue after the 6-week study that I'm doing with our Sunday school class. Some of those folks like Chuck and Pastor Nathan and Karis and Amy and so forth, if we can, you know, they'll move out and by September we'll do that. And yet we want to do everything we can to try to have, you know, some new people and to be able to continue to grow in their faith. So we're selecting the personnel. So 2 weeks ago we started it. And of course we started with the recognition that just as Nehemiah started to work, because in verse 6 of chapter 4, the people heart to work. They had a mind to work. One of the things that you find is that there is work involved. That's why it's important to have a right theology of work. And we are not working under the curse. We are and we're not. We are hopefully under Christ doing whether we, you know, whatsoever we do heartily unto the Lord. All right. So we come to chapter 4, and we kind of introduce the first section of chapter 4, but I want to, tonight, look at the response of attacks. Now, I already mentioned the persecutors are out there, but they really will tend to come after you when you start doing a work for God. And these persecutors will certainly come after us in different ways. First of all, I want you to see three things in chapter 4, and we'll kind of come back and look at the first part that we saw last week quickly, that there were three threats. Now, get in mind that they're now in the thick of the work. As a matter of fact, according to verse 6, how far along were they in finishing the work? You look at that. What's that? So they're halfway finished. Now think about that. They've accomplished a lot, but there's sure a lot more to go. And in the process of this work, there were these threats. The first one we looked at last time was the threat of ridicule. Now, they tried to ridicule, they're mockery. And if you remember, we saw that in the case of Sanballat, verse 1 of chapter 4, he was wroth. And he took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren, the army of Samaria. He was governor of Samaria. And he didn't like the idea that the Jews were now going to be building something that's going to shut them out. So, we're told that he started mocking them and saying, "What do these feeble Jews?" You know, they're just feeble, they're weak. Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they finish this up? You know, do they think they can really do this? Are they actually going to, in verse 2, revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know, and basically saying, you know, they're just, you know, you're just weak. You can't do it, you know. Whoever said sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me, may not have ever really been hurt by mockery. Sometimes people will say things that just kind of rub you wrong. And they say things that are very bothersome. Tobiah, verse 3, the Ammonite, he said, if a fox go up and even walk on the wall, it won't stand. And we're told that they were just mocking them. And we have to understand that sometimes people are going to mock us. They'll say, you know, look at this little church here. You know, we got half the auditorium is empty. There's hardly anybody here. Do you really think that God is going to build this work? And you know, there are people that think that way. And it's an interesting thing that we can find ourselves in a situation that maybe somebody will say something that offends us. You ever been offended? Did anyone ever say anything that kind of rubbed you wrong and it kind of got you thinking of the wrong things? Instead of focusing on the work, you start focusing on what somebody has said or what somebody has done or not done. So there was this threat of ridicule. Number two, there was a threat of personal threats, a personal attack. Now, if you look at verse 7, it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, Then they were very wroth. Now, that's what we saw in the case of Sanballat. Now, from what I studied on this, these were not common allies. You know what their allies, you know, what caused them to align together? They had a common enemy. Kind of reminds you of the Arab nations. A lot of times they're just, their common enemy is Israel. And what we find here is that they basically, when they found out that, wow, this thing is really going to go forward. Verse 8, they got involved in a conspiracy. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So we find that they were basically looking at an enemy attack. Now think about it. These Jews were spread all around the city building this wall. They got all of, got half of it done, and to realize that we might be at war. And there's personal attacks. Now, I could ask you, you know, we've already started the work, if you had any personal attacks? I find it interesting. To me, when this happens so regularly, I know it's not coincidence. It can't be coincidence. I had a laptop crash last week. Last night, or yesterday, my wife informed me with the good news that our transmission's going out on our van. So last night when I went to go get some donuts, I thought, well, I'm going to go by the fair, and who knows, maybe we'll see if this is a good place. My transmission in my truck goes out. And I say, okay, you know, that is something that we can expect. Now, fortunately, I don't have boils all over my body like Job. But, you know, sometimes you wonder, okay, when you try to do something right, it just seems like there's conflict. I had this morning, you know, I had everything set up. I knew that Elizabeth's family might come. They have 10 children in their family. And I'm thinking, okay, and I didn't even meet the three teenagers. And we had four of the children, and they had a preschooler. So I'm thinking, okay, now I need to set up. And then I get a text from Ben, who was very excited about being in our Sunday school this morning, said, there's a storm out here. And I thought he was going to say, I can't make it. But he said, I'll get there as soon as I can. Now, we could go on and on and on, and we can expect that sometimes trouble comes and you get attacked. And all it takes is for somebody to do something. We know Satan's trying to attack us. We know the world is not happy when we give the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly Satan is not happy. So there were these personal threats. But here was really the tough one, because those were outside attacks. The third thing we see is that there's inward struggles. Now notice verse 10, Judah. Now Judah is one of the leading tribes, of course, of Israel. According to Genesis 49, Judah is going to be a leading tribe until the Messiah comes. And Judah says in verse 10, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now, that's a unique way of saying, you know, we're tired. We've really outdone ourselves. We've been working a lot of overtime. We've been hitting it hard. And our strength is gone. There is much rubbish, verse 10. Now, in other words, think about this. You know, here they are, they're building this wall, and there's all these rocks and people who were throwing rubbish away and all of these kind of things. And, you know, it just seemed like, wow, man, we just killed ourselves and we're only halfway done. Now, what do we tend to do when we get tired? Well, our tendency or our temptation is to say, I'm done. I need to give up. And so, verse 10, Judah says, we are not able to build the wall. So, basically, we find that there was discouragement. They thought, man, you know, there's just so much to do, and you know, we're never going to get this done. And then we're told in verse 11 that our adversaries, of course, these people that were going after, they were talking, and they said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So in other words, this was the accusation of these enemies that we're going to just, when they're in the middle of their work, we're going to come in there and we're going to slay them. And what did that do? According to verse 12, it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them, see, that's an interesting thing. So, you know, you get around naysayers. Let me tell you, it's going to have an impact on you. And these naysayers were around some of these Jews. And they said unto us, how many times? Look, 12. 10 times. In other words, they just kept coming at them. And they said, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. In other words, these naysayers were saying, you don't have a chance. Give up! Stop it! Because we're... So they intimidated and they were afraid. And the interesting thing is that these threats were coming at them. And it came the strongest when they were so tired and they had so much more to do. I don't know about you, but last week was a pretty stressful week for me. It shouldn't be because I don't preach. And I'm just kind of making sure everybody's in their place. But there is something about Vacation Bible School that totally drains me. And so, you know, Friday, I thought, well, I'm just going to go home and have lunch. And I didn't have lunch. I did have lunch. I went home and I thought, I'm going to just lay here for a little bit. 3 hours later, I wake up. And I'm thinking, I must have been more tired than I thought. And then I get to realizing, man, I've got to be ready for Sunday. And I've got to preach, I've got these things I've got to do, and all of these things. And it just looks like, man, there's so much to do. Then it dawns on me. There's a fair going on over there. Now, I didn't time our Vacation Bible School this way. But I thought, man, there's this fair going on. There are going to be thousands of people that are going to be there. And I thought, what a great opportunity. But because, you know, we get tired, and I'm thinking, man, everybody's worn out. Who wants to go and canvass? So it's so easy for us to just think, you know what? I've worked hard. Back off. And I'm guilty of that too. And there is a sense in which we have to recognize that there's a wall that needs to be built. And it's not going to get done because I, as the pastor, do it. It's going to be done if we, as a people, have a mind to work. Now, I'm not saying don't take and have rest, But there is a sense in which we have to understand that the devil and the world and the flesh, it's going to fight us all the time. Now, Nehemiah had three responses to these threats. Now, we could talk about the fact that in verses 4 and 5, we're told that after the first mockery, Nehemiah prayed. We could look at verse 9 that tells us that after there was a conspiracy to attack Jerusalem, we made our prayer unto God. And we could certainly see this. And all of this would be involved with the fact that Nehemiah had faith. Now, faith is the substance, Hebrews 11:1, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And obviously, it was his faith that I believe is like 8+ times in the book of Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah will pray. And he's trusting in God. And when you consider the fact that Tobiah and Sanballat were saying, "You're too weak," probably Nehemiah could concur with that. You ever find yourself too weak? But you see, when we're weak, according to 2 Corinthians 12, we are strong. And when we recognize the fact that within ourselves we can do nothing. Jesus said this in John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. And Nehemiah trusted. And as a result, we're told that he says in verse 13, "I set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid." And he said that the Lord, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. You know, there's a great cause here. He said, you know, if you do not stand up and protect your families, they are likely to die. So you better recognize the fact that you can fight for them. But you do that by remembering the Lord. See, if you look at the rubbish, you find yourself kind of overwhelmed. When you look at all the obstacles and all the trials, it becomes very overwhelming. But when you look at the Lord, you know, it's good for us to remember the Lord. This is why, you know, when we come to church, we ought to be focusing on the Lord. And the world is going to pass away one day. And if we put all our focus and our attention on the rubbish of the world, it can be very, very discouraging. It can be very, very intimidating. So, Nehemiah had faith. But let me go on, because Nehemiah not only responded in faith, he responded in diligence. Now, one of the things that you'll notice is that Nehemiah doesn't say, you know, okay, let's just pray about it. We're told in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, after he prays, it says in verse 6, he built. Or in verse 9, we prayed unto our God and then did what? Set a watch against them day and night because of them. So there was a sense in which he, in diligence, did not just simply sit back and pray about it. I mean, it's good to pray, But it's also important, this is why I preached a message on the theology of work. And it's important that we understand that God wants us to work. So in verse 15, after he tells them, remember the Lord, trust the Lord. Verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us. Notice the inclusion of everybody. Everybody went back to work. And it came to pass, verse 16, that half of my servants wrought in the work. Now, verse 17 is an interesting verse. And you probably, I mean, I don't know if you've ever underlined this, but it says in verse 17 that they which builded on the wall, and they bear burdens with those that laid it. Everyone with his hand wrought in the work. Now, they were working hard. How hard, you might ask? Well, if you look here, it tells us, verse 21, we labored in the work. And we're told in verse 22, everyone, they lodged in Jerusalem. And verse 23, neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save when they bathed. What does that mean? They slept with their clothes on. They recognize that there is a work to be done. And they worked so hard. You ever work so hard, you think, man, this is just nothing but sheer torture. And so they had their hand on their work. But the other half had their hand on what? Okay. So not only was there diligence, but there was a sword. And this sword, if you notice there in verse 16, that it says they held spears and shields and bows and habergeons, which was a certain type of protection. And verse 17, they builded on the wall, and they bear burdens with those that laid it. Everyone with his hand wrought in the work, but with the other hand held a weapon. C.H. Spurgeon had a magazine that he put out. It was, anybody know the name of it? The Sword and Trowel. Now, the sword and trowel, he was basically communicating the picture of what we see here in this passage. That it's important that we understand that we are in a battle. We are not only building a work, but we are fighting a fight. The scripture tells us that we are to fight a good fight of faith, right? So it's important that we understand that there is a struggle that's going on. Now we know that's why we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole what? Armor of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the... Anybody remember? The scripture tells us in Hebrews that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I find this interesting. So you can kind of imagine, here's a work that needs to be done, and yet I'm fighting against the world, the flesh, the devil, and anybody who is going to try to prevent this work from going forward. And so we understand that if we're going to overcome the world, we need to overcome the world by our faith. And the picture here is just incredible. Verse 18, the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. So in other words, Nehemiah says, okay, I want the trumpet guy right next to me. And if we're under attack, I'm going to tell him to blow the trumpet. Everybody come running. So it wasn't like they just had to put up a structure. They actually had to move rubbish out of the way and build this wall with one eye on the fact that the enemy could attack at any moment. And so we're told that everyone, verse 22, let everyone with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. So you had half of them ready to fight, other half of them just working like slaves. And this is how this wall got built in 52 days, less than 2 months. And they were very diligent. All right? One more verse and we're done. Matthew 16:18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And we have to understand that Jesus, in Matthew 16, verse 18, talks about His church. He says in verse 18 of Matthew 16, I say unto you, unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will, what's the word? There's a building project going on. So God is in the process right now until the rapture of the church is to build His church. Now, we don't want to be in danger, as we see in the book of Revelation, where, whether it be the church of Ephesus or whatever church it is, Laodicea, that we do not want the Lord to remove the candlestick. Now, what does that mean? That means that God can close this church down. But you can count on one thing. God will build His church. And when we consider the fact that building is not sitting around and just watching somebody else do the work, we have to understand that the building of the church is part of the Christian faith, right? So we want to edify one another. We're told in the book of Ephesians 4:16, and I believe it's verse 16, where it talks about the fact that the purpose of the pastor is to perfect the saints so that they may do the work of the ministry. So that's my job description. My job description as the pastor is not to do all the work. My job description is to get people to work. Now that's very hard because I can be very demanding sometimes. Because sometimes people just don't want to work. And I'm thankful for our church. For instance, when we saw EBS last week, how many people were working? You can accomplish a lot when everybody is working. You know, I've often said, you know, every many hands make light work. You know, I haven't told the joke in a while, so I guess I should tell it. You know, the man who was watching this play, and all of a sudden, you know, these people are doing this, Chinese guy watching this play, and all of a sudden, lights go out. And he hollers out in his Japanese accent, "Everyone raise up hands!" So everybody raised their hand, lights came on. Old saying true, many hands make light work. Now, I saw that last week. Many laborers get a lot done. Brother Tom was telling me the other day, sometimes he'll, on that last day He works until 6 o'clock at night and doesn't have everything done until the very end. But fortunately, he was able to get it done quicker, to the detriment of Karis, who got very sick. But it really was one of those things where we just have to recognize that the work of God is a lot of work. And everybody's not gifted the same way. Not everyone's wired the same way. That's why the Bible talks about spiritual gifts. So Jesus says regarding the church, it is needing to be built. And Jesus said, guess who builds it? Christ says, we are the body. But then he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the gates of hell, now I find that a very interesting picture there, because when you consider the fact that, you know, here's a city, you know, Jerusalem, they're building their wall, and they put up these gates. And one of the things that I find is that gates don't attack. People attack gates. And it says that it's the gates of hell that shall not prevail against it. So who's doing the attacking? The church. So the church is on the attack. So not only is there a building going on, there's a battle going on. And we have to understand that this battle it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to become intimidated. The devil is very strong. We get very tired, and certainly we want to pace ourselves. We don't want to do like I did when I ran the half mile as in junior high school, where I took off so fast I was ahead of everybody until the second lap. And in the second lap, I got three quarters around, and people were vroom, 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 passing me, and I gave up. No, we don't want to give up. We have to pace ourselves. We must take care of ourselves and all of those things. There's nothing wrong with pacing yourself to do what you need to do. And nobody criticizes that. But I do think it's important that we understand that there is this fight going on. And this is why Paul could say, I fought a good fight. And I finished my course, I have kept the faith. So, just be aware of the fact that here we are, we just got one activity out of the way. It's called Vacation Bible School. Now, I hope none of us take the attitude, okay, let the others do it now. Because we have a lot of work to do. And there is a sense in which, you know, we're going to try to reach these families. I was very encouraged, frankly, last week. One of the ladies that my wife and Matthew visited came to our church. And you know, she wrote me a thank you note, gave me $50, thanking me for the fact that I provided something for her child. So I kind of took that money and I waved it in my wife's face and said, that's mine. I organized this. And then I was teasing her and I gave her the money. But it's fascinating to recognize that, you know, not everybody out there is skeptical and angry and trying to prevent us from doing the work. Now, we know the devil and the flesh and the world is. But there are people who are truly, genuinely wanting to have somebody that would just care for their soul. And they're struggling. And we don't know what God is going to do, but what I do know is that the attacks will come. And we want to respond to those attacks by faith and diligence and the sword. And let's pray for one another because we need that. Pray for Brother Nathan, Pastor Nathan, as he starts his kids' club this Wednesday night. And it may take some time, but we want to somehow reach a family. There's one family just another street over. They were out of town last week. Now, they said they might be interested in that kids' club. I took him over there and we met her. So, be diligent, build, and be ready to fight the good fight of faith. Now, Lord, help us now, guide us, direct us, help us to understand that there's a building process going on, and we thank you that until Jesus comes, that you are building your church. And we know that the world is multiplying, while sometimes we as churches are adding. But Lord, give us faith, give us patience. Help us to do our part. Let us not just pray about it. Let us pray and work. Help us to use your word, that we would fight with the word of God. And guide and direct us. And help us to not grow weary in well-doing, knowing that we shall reap if we faint not. Let's stand there together. And if God is speaking to your heart, in whatever way the invitation's given, you can come if you need to, as a pianist plays.